In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the 16th and final Mishnah from the third Perek of Masechta Makot, and we'll begin the new Masechta, Masechta Shavuot. And in today's Mishnah, the first one is probably one of the most famous Mishnayot. Many, many people know it off by heart, albeit they don't actually understand what the Mishnah says. And you'll see what I mean. This Mishnah says, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha says, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Yisrael. Hashem wanted to bestow merit on Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, that's why he increased for them, he brought them both Torah and Mitzvot, Torah and Mitzvot themselves. So the performance mitzvah, both a positive and negative mitzvah. Shneema, Hashem chafetz lemad tzidko, yagdil Torah v'yadir. That Hashem desired for the righteousness of Am Yisrael, and therefore he expanded both the Torah and he strengthened it. So what does this Mishnah mean? Firstly, why is it so familiar? That's because this is the Mishnah that's recited after learning in general. That is because in order for us to say Kaddish Rabbanan, it was Matak and it was instituted to be said after the learning of Agada. And this is understood as being a Mishnah of Agada, and therefore, despite the learning we're doing, we specifically say this Mishnah. And that is the opinion of the Megan Abraham as cited by the Mishnah Berurah. So what does this Mishnah mean? There's different explanations here. We did a Mishnah article on it about 11 years ago. You can see it on the website. However, some explanations, Katia cites the opinion of the Rambam. That he says it's an ikar of emunah. It's a fundamental principle that if someone performs one mitzvah purely with the correct intentions, in that moment he is zocher, he merits his chay olam haba. So therefore Hashem gave us a multitude of mitzvahs that can be performed every single day to have many, many opportunities for an individual at least once in life to merit, to perform one mitzvah completely lishma, with the right intentions in its fullest. Other explanations are similar to that. Now, the Tiferet Yisrael, for example, says, well, this really follows from the previous Mishnah. The question is, why is it we have so many negative prohibitions? And in yesterday's Mishnah, the second one was that many of these negative prohibitions are prohibitions that people in general wouldn't dream of violating, drinking blood, eating creepy crawlies and the like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all these mitzvahs so that, in any event, we'll be fulfilling them, therefore increase the various reward we would be receiving. As I've already explained, this Mishnah is simply refraining from violating these prohibitions where one receives reward. An interesting explanation is that of the Sefer Chinuch. He said, Lezakot doesn't to bestow merit, it means Lezakot, means in other words, to purify. So what's the intention here? He says that the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us actually have a purifying effect on an individual. That is because a fundamental principle that is presented by the Sefer Chinuch in multiple places is that our actions drive changes in our internal world, not the other way around. We don't do things because of our internal world, but quite the opposite. By acting in a particular way, it changes us internally. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted Lezakot it Israel, wanted to purify us, help us improve our natures. Therefore, he gave us all these Torah mitzvot and so many aspects of our lives in order to turn us into better human beings. With that, we finish Masechta Makot, and we'll begin the next Masechta, Masechta Shavuot. Now, Shavuot refers to oaths. And there are different types. Importantly here, what we're talking about at the moment is a shvuat bitui. And we've already discussed the difference shvuat nadarim about a year ago, I think, when we learned mesechta nadarim. Now, a shvuah is, at least the first one we're dealing with, is a shvuat bitui, an expression that someone's going to do something in the future, either positive or negative. So what the Mishnah says here is that we have shvuat shtayim shehen arba. There are two types of shvuat bitui that are expressed explicitly in the Torah, either to do something positive or to do something negative, and that's towards the future. However, Chazal understand that that's Shehen Arba, that Chachamim understood by way of derivation, that there's also an additional two as well. That's Laharao Lativ, referring to the past as well. Now, having mentioned this concept of Shtayim Shehen Arba, this might be familiar to you already from back in Masechta Shabbos, what the Mishnah says, and it actually mentions other laws within the Torah that are Shtayim Shehen Arba. And with that, we actually go on what appears to be a tangent for the remainder of this parak before returning to the topic of Shavuot. And that is the following. Yediot hatuma shtayim shehen arba. Now, if someone becomes tameh, and he forgets his tameh, and he enters the Beis HaMikdash, or he eats kodshin, he violates a prohibition, and he has to bring what's called a korban ola v'yored, a specific korban that what the individual brings, as we'll learn about as we continue this parak, varies with how much the person can afford. So, the Shtaim so far that explicitly mentioned the Torah is someone forgets their tamer. However, Shen Arba is if someone remembers their tamer but they forget either that the item they're consuming is Kodesh, though they forget or they're unaware that this is the Mikdash, this is the base of Mikdash, and what the location is entering and is not allowed to be tamer there. So that's a Shtaim Shen Arba. We'll continue with two more Shtaim Shen Arba. The first is Yetzot Shabbat Shtaim Shen Arba. This is referring to the prohibition of carrying or transferring from a private domain to a public domain. on Shabbat, there's a two explicit in the Torah and an extra two, which makes four altogether, that are derived. The explanation we're bringing here, according to Batim or according to Kati, is slightly different to the Shteim Shen Arba that we discussed in the Masechta Shabbos a number of years ago. The Shteim Shen Arba in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos refers to those that are forbidden biblically and those that are forbidden rabbinically. However, here we're just talking about on a biblical level. The Shteim are actually where the object is being transferred from a private domain to a public domain. And how do we get two scenarios in such a case? That is when either the person, he was first standing in the public domain and he brought the item by reaching in to the private domain to the public domain, or the second case, he was situated with the object in the private domain and he transferred it in the direction from the private domain to the public domain. That's the first shteim. The arba is in the reverse, meaning now we're looking at the object starting in Rishut HaRabim and being transferred to the Rishut HaYachid, the public domain to the private domain. And that breaks into two cases, depending on the person who's situated when he transferred that object. Either he was already in the private domain, he reached into the public domain, picked the object up, and brought it to where he was located in the private domain, or he was standing in the public domain, picked up the item, transferred it from the public domain into the private domain, and placed it down. But for all these laws of Hotza'a, it's strongly recommended to go back to Masechta Shabbos and revise the cases there. The final case is Marot Negayim. This is referring to signs of Tzara'at. Now, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to that, the Masechta Negayim. However, having mentioned the Shteim Shen Arba, this is also a case of Shteim Shen Arba. What we're referring to is the Negayim that affects one's skin. The Mishnah saying is, and the Torah refers to Sa'et and Baheret. These are two types, or it appears to be two types, of Negayim that affect one's skin. And also, the Torah says, O Sapachat. So what Chazal understand the Shteim Shen Arba is referring to four different shades of white. We have the Avot and the Toladot, similar one might think to in Shabbat, you've got the two prime categories, which is this Eta Meheret, and two derivatives, two other shades of white. There's a debate exactly which are Avot and Toladot, but we'll leave that for a discussion in Sechna Negayim. And the shades of white are, Se'et is white like the Krum HaBeitza, like the white of an egg. Toladah, the derivative of it, is Semer Lavan, like white wool. Baheret is like snow, and its Toladah is like a Sid HaHichel, like plaster. Those are the Mishnah today.